Oh, good. Okay, we'll bring the meeting to order. If you have a chance to look at the minutes. Any corrections, additions to the minutes? All approved? Okay, minutes accepted as written. Public comments. We're on the, oh. And we're waiting for Katie McFadden?
Yeah, we'll see if she's.
We're hoping that she'll be here, yes.
Okay. And we're waiting for Shane at 6?
At 6.
Yeah, Shane's upstairs running another meeting, but you know, he will be down here.
He's in the building, we know that.
And these two handouts are, go with what Shane's gonna talk to us about.
Right.
Digital.
Those two.
Yeah, the digital and the tracking. Well, we called the meeting to order, we're kind of a stalemate here, do we wanna?
We could do our annual report.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Dylan sent us?
Did Mel include that? I thought she did, and maybe that's what she went to go grab.
It's number 7 on your agenda, but you might wanna move it up.
Yeah, that's what.
So really what we took the liberty of trying to get it started for you. I know we worked on it, so I think that's what she's probably going to get. Mel, do we have the startup for the, since we don't have Katie right now, the advisory group annual reporting, didn't we create a list for that, or were we just gonna?
No, we were just gonna talk about, I can go up and print something off and bring it down.
That's okay, let's just.
If you go through your email and look at that bullet point that Dylan, I didn't think with Shane and everything that we'd actually.
Yeah, well, since we're waiting for Katie.
But Dylan sent that, and it'll you can just kind of go over.
Okay, so let's do that. We're kind of, since we're a new entity, there won't be a lot to report on from last year, because we didn't exist last year, right? So.
It'll have like.
But have some goals.
Members, who's chair, co-chair, how often we meet, you know, it'll.
Meeting time and date.
And I had covered things like when process, you guys got your mission statement to the council, and now we're working on next on bylaws and kind of working on the drafts with the municipal codes and that kind of stuff, so.
Right, so they asked for department accomplishments and challenges, and they kind of want bullet pointed. So under 2019 accomplishments, we have that list, 2020 planned projects, and then challenges facing operations needs for citizen service and professional applications in the coming year. So kind of like what we've accomplished so far, I would imagine, is we got a mission statement approved by council, right?
Mm-hmm.
Along with.
You got your board elected.
Yeah, board elected, officers, officers elected, board appointed, officers elected, and a mission statement approved. Plan projects for 2020, which may even fall into 2019, it just depends, is the percentage for the arts, you know, for that to be, I mean, I'm just saying these things. If you say, nope, just, if somebody else wants to be the narrator, I'm happy with that, please. But 2019 may happen, but 2020 for sure would be the percentage for the arts, the clarification of the code language around that, and what qualifies for that, and the reporting structure for the acquisition and approval of.
I call the bylaws.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you guys did give us some draft proposals.
For the ordinance.
So you can give us.
For the ordinance, for the bylaws.
Right, so, right, yes.
Credits for that.
Did that get voted on yet?
No, you gave us some draft proposals for the percent for the arts. We got that from you guys.
Right, and I think it went from us to a conversation with the.
Lance.
And finance and Lauren, and that's where last time I've seen it, it's been sitting. So What I've kind of said to council was...
No, it's pending.
It was supposed to be.
Yeah, pending. So what I said to council was, and I hope I articulate what you, your intention was, and if not, we can go back and correct that, is that this is really what you, what I heard from all of you was you wanted that to be, those decisions that affected the various departments to have some input into that. And that's where we're at right now. And so when that comes back to council, ultimately council will decide what they want to do with that information and then hopefully either accept it or make a modification or whatever it might be. So it's kind of, I think, in right now, we're waiting for that process to play out. I don't think our hands are necessarily, there's not a lot for us to do on that particular issue at this point.
And there's no dependencies between that and starting to do our bylaws.
What's that?
Is there's there a dependency between that being finalized and working on the bylaws?
I don't think so.
I
don't think so.
I wouldn't think so.
That's really focused on the what the actual resources will be that will drive it from a
versus what we do with
from a project standpoint. Yeah, but not us. I don't think what our bylaws are. So.
Well, I can't tell you what date it was, but the council did have a fairly robust discussion about it at a work session and kind of expressed some interest in seeing, you know, it's the initial feedback was that it might not be good to have it impact the transportation funds and things like this. After having a more of an in-depth conversation about that, it sounds like council would like to see something done in that respect. So not just limiting the percent for the arts to city-owned buildings and parks like it has been, but finding some way to expand it. So I would welcome you guys to stay tuned to that and get back with us if you've changed your position, because before we heard that you just thought you needed to rock it back to simply the city-owned buildings and parks. So.
You made some proposal.
The proposals that were made were submitted, and then we just Carrie, I think you and I at that meeting where we discussed it in the work session.
But then after that, because Lance had raised some concerns, and
yes.
So we peddled back but some of our language so that was a bit more case by case. It was more in other cases, you know, the individual department involved could say, actually, it doesn't make any sense here, and we could have it.
Maybe to circle back, we should ask, you could formally request that after it's gone through its. After it's gone through the points that it needs to with the various departments, that it comes back to this to look it over, and then you can, then if you want to make other suggestions or just say, okay, that's the way it is, then the council would then have had it all the way circled through. That'd probably be some, does that seem appropriate, Councilor Cummings?
I guess I'm just asking, to stay tuned and stay involved,
right?
Because this is still a work in progress.
Right.
Okay. And Mel, you probably shared out, I don't remember, because you were madly trying to scribble down all of the...
Yes, and I did, I did send it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and you guys all got it, and I, with the understanding, if it wasn't correct, I would hear from some of you, and we heard from none of you.
Okay.
So.
The old adage, silence is consent.
That's right. Yeah.
At least when it comes to arts and culture. All right, so that's where we are with that. There's still some things we can, you know, obviously can work on in regards to our, you know, there was, I think we talked about, I think Lauren brought up last time about some, what were we talking about, policies and procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are some that we can just, that are already created for the advisory boards that are applicable,
mm-hmm.
and we can just kind of use those because those have already been approved and vetted for advisory boards in the city.
Right.
The ones that I think are the ones that seem to be appearing in other municipalities that have arts and culture commissions would be a conflict of interest clause that kind of just states, you know, that that nobody's going to, you know, we're not going to all vote for Carrie's art, even though we would, and we'll pay for it. That there's a, you know, there's a process by which, and that if you serve on this commission, that you can, just like any other, there are plenty of them for a lot of other organizations. That's the one I think that is probably we need to have in place. But the other great, I think what I'm really happy is that the other great kind of the other kind of thing that's in place is that you're making advisory, just you're giving advice to the council. Ultimately, it's council's decision to choose to do what they will with the advice that you get. And so you truly are an advisory board. And so ultimately, the decisions that are made are ultimately made by the council. So I think that's another really good thing that helps us to have the checks and balances for that. So. But I think Lauren had talked about potentially some training on that. Wasn't that what you'd said before?
There was something coming to your...
Oh, yes, that there, which didn't end up happening. But Carrie Oakes is very well acquainted with how to set up bylaws. And so she's going to do a presentation at our Neighborhood Association President's meeting about it. And I was going to see if you guys wanted her to come and do the same thing here. But I'll be at the meeting in 2 weeks, so can sort of take
so maybe my suggestion would be we look at the we for our next meeting, we'll bring all the ones that are in place already. Mm-hmm. If it makes sense to, and some, I think I've even in the past give you some code of conducts that have been from other mm-hmm. municipalities, and then mm-hmm. if it makes sense, then the month after we could have her come if sure. we still have some need for that, or we may have a lot of more questions, and it would be great to have her answer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I also think that we have some, you know, really good bylaws here in the city that I think will be good models for us.
Sure.
Rather than keep
reinventing.
And yeah, well, I'd like to see bylaws in place sooner rather than keep pushing it out month by month by month.
Well, right. I think my personal opinion is, and professional opinion is, we shouldn't really be going off what we shouldn't be steering out of what everyone else is doing in the city from an mm-hmm. advisory standpoint. We mm-hmm. should be accepting and using that because it's mm-hmm. already been vetted. It's already, and then it makes it kind of true all the way through. The only one that I'm saying that you probably need to add that the others wouldn't, because it wouldn't really come into play, would be a conflict of interest clause. So I think you should adopt them, but we haven't even looked at all of them, the ones that we already have. So maybe that's, maybe over this next month, we can just email them out to you in the next week or so, and that way you can see them.
That would be great. And I have a whole, Nancy and I have a whole week off at Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, 2 days of work. Mm-hmm. I'm presenting on Monday.
Oh, you are?
But yeah, Tuesday I'm signed up to teach 2 workshops. So on that Tuesday? Yeah.
I know. I'm just
kind of a week off. 3 days off.
No kidless.
No kids.
Yes.
I wonder if Clackamas Arts Commission, what's it called?
Coalition.
Arts Alliance.
Oh, Alliance.
They
have that one kind of, they must have that kind of language.
Yeah. We'll look at theirs and forward you the link to it and see if, I'm sure that they probably do. And I know we sent out, we compiled some from.
Yeah, you gave us the Ketchum Arts Commission.
All right.
Raleigh Arts Commission. Seattle Arts Commission. So we have some, just, and plus our own cities, groups that have them already written.
I was just saying, coincidentally, I was cleaning out some documents and found bylaws from years ago, before you know any of us were doing this, but just bylaws that had come through the library board from other arts commissions.
Yes. Yes. Oh, awesome. And Carrie shared. I just
deleted it. They were too old. 20 years old.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a nonsensical place for them. I tacked a couple others onto the very end of my document, too. So under resources, the last two links, because I happened to stumble across Beaverton's, which reminded me that you had also sent out the ones from Rush for mm-hmm. Portland and Multnomah County, and so I added those as well.
So can we, would you mind if we fill out the accomplishments and we just go over the plan projects real quickly? One is, you know, Presents for the Arts. The other one is we had a commitment to work with the McLean House project. Mm-hmm. That's in, I think, September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another one. Are there other ones that you want to really highlight for projects for this next year that we
I think if we can get the plaques, that goes either on this year or next,
right, okay,
year or whatever.
Did you guys all get the link and get on the catalog and see the different plaques that
the
I think
catalog is
that?
A bit convoluted. It's
is
just
it?
It's deep, where it's like you have to click on this and then click on this and then click on this. But I saw the pictures.
I saw the pictures.
And I like the one
too.
On the ground.
Mm-hmm.
For out there.
And then she had also sent me one that where it's, and it's a big one, I think it's down at the coast. So that for the one that's up, you know, you can kind of raise it up so that, because there's bushes up there at the feet
mm-hmm.
of that one, so you're going to need one that's going to be up a little bit higher and then angled,
right?
But also weatherproof,
right.
And that was the questions that I had asked her when I sent off the, and she sent, so I think that she will be a good contact, and she said a turnaround for it is about a month, so a month and a half, so.
The other thing that I proposed to you all earlier was to curate either an art exhibit and or a cultural-like event as part of the library programming setup. Is that something that you want to potentially tackle in 2020?
Yep.
To do an art show that you curate and or also doing a cultural event, maybe a speaker, maybe something that you'd all decide that you are the curators of and that we would do here in the library, and we would, since we already have library programming, you know, established for these things, and we would then be the funding source for that. And so we could do that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I'd like to do two.
Like to do them both?
Well, I was thinking just about a show. I'd like to do, it'd be fun to do one for kids and
okay.
or high schoolers or lower, and then one for sort of adults
okay.
or professional
Well,
artists.
We could certainly do more than one, but we'll put down one of each to start, and if we can exceed that,
start there.
Better. Right, okay. So I think we have those. Now, the other one was the challenges facing and the needs for citizen service and professional obligations in the coming year. I think that, you know, need for citizen service, I think, I'm not quite sure what they mean in the context of this Arts and Culture Commission, but I would imagine, do you feel like we're going to need some volunteers in our community to help us with whatever projects we might need to do?
Possibly for events.
Yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
we would certainly need submissions
word out.
From
mm-hmm.
community artists.
And then professional obligations in the coming year. Do we have anything that you think would resonate with that?
Is that like we need to hire a professional to do something?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
I would say
Yeah.
Well, you might want to have a meeting with Brian Wagner, Oregon's
So I think we can put down those kind of things. I think what they mean by professional obligations, like, are we tied in contract with something that we have to do, which I don't believe we are in any way in this group of this, or there may be some other departments that have that their boards oversee. So, but certainly we can put that down as a planned project that we want to do. I think that would be a good one. So thank you for bringing that up. So I think we have it. So what I think, if you're okay with that, we'll wordsmith it a bit. They really is bulleted, so they want it to be, you know, short and concise. Mel and I can work on that together and then send that out to you in the next few weeks so that you can review it, and hopefully we can collaboratively figure out, maybe we'll even have some better answers on how to do all that after Shane gets here, but but in the meantime, we'll go about the old-fashioned way that we've been doing it and sending it out so that we can make sure we get it to the administration in time for their deadlines.
Yeah, I have one more question. So is there still art in the park? Is that still in place? I can't remember. You know, Meryl, that's not there anymore.
It's
not happening anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Mary S. Young?
Yeah.
No, it hasn't happened in years. But that might be something we could reconsider.
That's why I was asking, mm-hmm. because sometimes you mention, if you have a booth somewhere, when something is going on, whatever it is.
Right.
So that's why I was thinking about that. Or we can reinvent it or something.
Well, you might want to consider putting up a booth for the Westland Old Fashioned Fair.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Invite people from the community to display their art?
Was mentioning
that could,
earlier.
That could be certainly yeah. something that we can plan. I think a lot of things will kind of look, come into a little more view once the percentage for the arts has been kind
more
of established, and
yes.
you
mm-hmm.
kind of see what your budgets might be based mm-hmm. upon that, and then you can say, oh, well, we might have resources for that, or we could complement that with these other resources.
But if we had an arts festival, I think we should talk about it. I mean, I'm very excited about a cultural event, and I would like to see, you know, even have a participatory where you could have children creating an art. And as I understand, because I've worked shows, I've had art in, you know, these shows. They're not shows. There's a difference between craft fairs and art shows. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Westland, the Arts in the Park, it was more a crafts fair as opposed mm-hmm. to fine art. I mean, there was some jewelry that was nice, and it was all local, and everyone had to pay
to get
a little fee to have their booth okay. space. Mm-hmm. And you have to work with the Parks Department on this. But it was great. It was a big draw. It was like over a third weekend in August or something like that. And then it moved over to Merrillhurst. But that park lends itself to a beautiful woodland setting. It highlights one of our nicer parks. And I, you know, organizationally, I don't think that's going to be too much of a challenge. I have had my own booths, and you have to provide your chair and your tent
yeah,
you and your food, and then you pay, you know, maybe
right.
$25.
Sure.
And then
I know once it was, what is that park called down at the Tualatin River?
Willamette.
So,
Willamette Park. It's right on the right where the confluence is of
the
Willamette and Tualatin River.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
I know one year it was down there
yeah.
with all the, and I loved that area
yeah.
because
yeah,
it was so open and
there's lots of parking
and
mm-hmm.
there were
and we don't have to
yeah.
rent a space.
That's a big event though, and the city didn't put that on. It
was, no,
it was
all
different organization.
Well, at that point,
it
that's
was partnered with.
That's
yeah.
right. That
my
was when it went away.
Yeah.
This because
yeah.
there was too much self-interest in this board for who was in the show. So
and
we're going to keep that
maybe
separate.
We can include all the artists that live in Westland and
right.
let them know. Hey, mm-hmm. it's
well, and
you
there's another thing: the open
input.
Studio concept.
Yeah.
I've always kind of
yeah.
liked that idea, and we could sponsor that, and then maybe have a focal point in one of the parks for kids' crafts, or I don't know.
I was kind of shocked at how few Westland artists were in the Portland Open Studios. And
yeah,
like,
I've never been
Washington
to
County
Westland.
Has their own separate one, but
right.
Clackamas County
yeah.
doesn't. So we just had like.
We had
three.
Yeah. In Westland and
like
three on the city.
We've
yeah.
had more than that in the past.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I don't know who, you know,
effort,
do, Liz Diamond would be a good person to contact. She's had crafts
so
for years. And. She was, she, yep. there was years ago Open Studios, and I know that she was on them, and she's got a great studio. I don't know if you've ever been up to her. It's off of Wisteria.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous place. But
I was twice in the studio, but I'm up so hard to
find.
And
well,
people,
so Liz.
People don't do the way to Westland up there. I mean, like, Sarah Swing, whatever her last name is. She has
yep.
all her friends in her studio space, so they
that
share
one of the
time.
Ones I
now
yeah.
that's
yeah.
an idea too,
mm-hmm. right? So they go there; they don't go uphill and meet me. Then you know.
So that would
so
be another idea
hard.
Of having it a crafts, but this how would we say? Because it is cultural. It's cultural arts, I guess. A cultural arts fair.
I don't think it would be hard to make the case that it would be under our umbrella. The only thing I would caution against what. Two things. One, I wouldn't underestimate the amount of work involved in putting
no.
on something like
no.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
other... And you've got the McLean one happening.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're doing
that's
two
true.
This year.
Yeah.
But that's
year.
Garden art. That's only...
But
in
the
September
fall one's
going to
be a cultural one, isn't
yeah.
it?
Spring it's
the,
garden
with
and
the
in September it's art. That's
yeah.
what they told
yeah.
me.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what Mike said.
Yeah.
But the other thing too is just to be aware of, like, I don't know how saturated a space that is from a marketing standpoint.
From the McLean House?
I think you would be hard pressed to find a weekend over the summer where there isn't an arts
oh,
festival somewhere
right.
in the greater Portland
yeah.
area. So I just want to be really careful that we're not competing with any of the biggies.
So
like we wouldn't want to do the same weekend as like Art
May
in the World
or something would be
right.
maybe a
okay.
good idea then.
Yeah,
like,
except it rains in May.
Yeah.
but what about just putting up one of those big white things.
Like a tent, like they
at the old fashioned fair, and letting, inviting the community. It's just an idea, but just something to bring people out of their woodwork.
Yeah.
Everyday people, ordinary people. I'm not talking about famous artists among us. We have famous artists among us. But just to kind of invite that exposure. Mm-hmm. It's just a thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did that in our neighborhood. We went door to door and asked people if they did a hobby or a craft or an art. And then our neighborhood did a little art fest down at the Robinwood Station. And we got almost a dozen artists and of various things, you know, ceramics. And there's this lady in her 90s that makes puppets and sells them at Saturday Market.
Oh, sweet.
And she's a beautiful artist, too, so we had her. Anyway, it was fun because they were our neighbors, you know.
I noticed there are like 3 or 4 different communities doing holiday bazaars.
Yes.
And they do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, as a viewer at Art in the Burbs, so that's Tualatin High School. They do that, I guess, now for I don't know how many years, but that was packed. And so you can sign up, and then they have to pay a fee as well, but it's in the gym. And so people see that as a destination. They can park at the high school.
That's nice.
They go in there, and then a percentage goes, I guess, to sports or whatnot, and the rest goes to the artists.
Yeah.
So that would be involving both artists and the students. And
no,
so
similar at Buckman up in Portland.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Da Vinci does one.
So maybe this is something.
And then it doesn't matter if it rains.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Another thing would be to do a night market. We could do it in the library after on a weekend or on a Friday night.
Oh,
close a little early. We could slide up upstairs and have
dark.
Library night market.
Oh, that's cool. Library after dark.
Yeah.
So something you're about using that main room or actually in the stacks?
We could have
I think it'd be in the main room, but also could be down here. It could be like Harry Potter's, the whole building.
Yeah.
We could kind of incorporate. It depends on how many people were interested in doing it.
Therefore, we need volunteers.
Right, exactly. And what's nice is if we do it here, we can also incorporate the volunteers that are associated with the library and encourage them, as well as the high schoolers that work with us and others. So there's, you kind of already have a beginning for a volunteer crew to work from. And so I think it'd be really interesting. I think those kind of activities that we've done in the past where we've done, like we did a comedy night here and we had a late night library with food trucks, and those were really well attended.
The wine tasting is coming up.
Sounds
fun. I feel like people get super excited to come here.
I just had
when's the wine tasting?
I don't know if
soon. There is tickets. I don't remember.
The parade theme has been chosen yet, but what about asking the committee to think about making the theme be something about being creative and invite everybody who's in the parade to do something kind of, you know, artsy fartsy.
Mm-hmm. Artsy fartsy.
Yeah. Is this for the old time fair, that parade?
Uh-huh.
Or what parade?
It's just a thought. Just tossing it out there.
Yeah,
I just don't know what parade.
Well, the old fashioned fair, it has a theme every year.
Okay.
Right.
Last
year it was Larry the Lightbulb.
It was something with PGE. It was something with PGE.
So the Sullivan plant was 100 years old or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
and the other one that I also would be interested in seeing them thinking about is doing something to celebrate our, because we just became the 80th Bee City this year.
Bee City, right.
And to celebrate our Bee City, our pollinator-friendly practices.
When we've got some gardens that we could be highlighting.
Yeah, and invite everybody to dress up like their favorite
bug. But they might also
want to
celebrate
and those kinds
the
of
high
things.
School.
We can have Sting play.
The Sting.
That's even on our budget.
Nice.
That's within our budget.
Yeah.
Get Sting to come.
That's a good cause.
You probably just do it for free.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
free.
Well, something else that we talked about was working with the Performing Arts Center at the high school with all the blank walls, and asking if we could put or help facilitate art and art displays there. So that's something we might want to consider.
There must be an art teacher at the high school.
Oh, yeah, several.
Oh, yeah, several.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great if the high school, if we could coordinate with the high school and do an art event using the high
school. We could do a first Thursday or something like that.
In the summer, you know, when they're not, you know.
We do first Fridays at the high school in the library where all the art, photography, robotics team, they're in the library on first Fridays at lunchtime. We performed Chicago opening number last Friday.
Oh, wonderful.
At lunch. And so everyone just comes in. There's tables of art, and the robotics team is running their robot, and
awesome.
Chicago was performing, so it's kind
that's
of a
cool.
celebration.
It's always the first Friday?
First Friday.
Can the public come?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. However,
we got a date, Terry.
However, you know, the problem and is parking. So it's during, you know, during school hours.
Yeah.
And
there's only
that
feet.
Yeah.
There's only visitor spots.
I know how to walk.
Yeah, walk up from
I'll
here.
Walk.
Yeah.
I'll walk. I'll park over at
nice
the shepherd's
walk.
House. All right, I'm having a sandwich. I'm going to break the ice.
Yay.
All right.
Yay. Now, ladies, we have ham provolone turkey, salami and provolone, and
Italian
club.
So I think I emailed everybody. I need to leave at 6. Do we, without our artist here, I don't know if we want to make a decision or need to have a vote on the plaques or anything. And obviously you have enough people without me, but if there's any voting or
good
anything
idea.
Else that needs to be done with all of us here. Is that, no, maybe?
There's no Mary. I didn't hear from Mary. Anybody hear from Mary?
Mm-hmm. I don't think we've been here.
I don't know if you want to, it's up to you what you guys want to do on that.
I mean, I'd like her feedback. It's unfortunate. I don't know.
I'd hate to make a decision in her absence if she, you know, if she, because she was going to be here and if
she said on the phone she's open to everything. She was only like, oh, I'm excited if I can get come and be involved. But I guess she didn't even know that, she knew that there's a ball rolling for that sign, but she wasn't thinking about that she could be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I just say that.
And I sent her an email with a copy of the agenda so that she knew and that we were in the hollow.
Yeah,
and
I told her already the time.
Did she
before
respond
you sent
to
the email? So she knew.
Huh? Did she respond?
No, I didn't hear a response from her.
Hmm.
But
yeah,
no.
We'll
I
reach out again and ask her.
Okay. Do so. Let's. Do we want to wait for? Yeah, okay.
Table the.
Yeah, just table.
And see if maybe we can get
and
her next
since
month.
We're waiting for Shane, I think we've covered number 7. Was there anything more that anyone added that wanted to add or needed to add?
Did we get everything on the reporting form?
Okay. We're waiting for Shane. Is there any other discussion that you feel we need to address, or should we take a sandwich break?
Take a break.
Yeah,
I don't have anything
okay.
else.
Let's take a sandwich break. And we'll adjourn till Shane can.
Yeah, because he's.
I mean, the website.
I know.
Stop sending me your emails.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, now that Shane's
we
here,
can
reconvene.
We were on
meeting.
A pause.
Mm-hmm. Webster's doing a focus group on the website template.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's a. I don't know, we'll see if we got packets of to-dos. I get feedback on
Yay.
How well we're doing.
So thank you, Shane, for agreeing to come. I really appreciate that. I know everybody else does. So Carrie, who's sitting right to your left.
I can do that too.
Thing here, has been kind of championing some ideas, and so maybe you could talk first for everybody. I think that's appropriate.
Sure. So... Basically, this came up because we were discussing the best ways of, especially as a new commission, but also just over the longer term, best ways of collecting ideas, sharing links to stuff, capturing the day-to-day collaboration that happens in a group.
Sure.
And having worked in collaborative technology in my professional past, I was like, oh, perfect, we'll use Google Doc. And he was like, no. and so we were toying different alternatives to how that can work, wouldn't be too, you know, like we could have a binder of just things that we had to update. Yes, and I tried not to make that face when I was feeling that face.
No, I'm not saying if someone doesn't want a binder, we can't. We can take care of that.
Let's meet
people where they want to be met.
So last millennium.
Well, we want to meet people where they want to be met. We want to be uninclusive. So yeah. if that's a additional tool we want to use, that's I think that's okay.
I do.
So.
I kept coming back to using some kind of
digital medium.
Yeah, and not email where everything gets lost in the, mm-hmm.
sure.
the credit histories.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my first summer being in a government commission, and so I have a lot to learn about what's allowed and what's not allowed. But my understanding is that there's a lot of concerns around making sure that the public has access to it and public records law and all that. And I might be oversimplifying the whole thing, but my general sense was like, oh, well, great, then we'll just have a Google Doc that we set to publicly viewable, and we'll make a link off the city website, and done. But I'm also learning that it's much more complicated than that. So we wanted to understand what the potential limitations are, and if there's possible mm-hmm. workarounds, and if there's things that we can do to make sure these needs are met.
So, if you guys are open to a little bit of education and kind of some discussion and talk about this, let's do that, because what you're presenting to me immediately, there may be a way for us to navigate that, but I don't know until we kind of think about the idiosyncrasies and things like that. So what I want to kind of bring to the conversation first and foremost is anything any board or commission does basically is a public record, and that record has to be able to be inspected when requested by the public. Also, Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, In terms of meetings, decision making, and things like that, they can't occur outside of a quorum meeting, correct? So anything that produces a potential decision that doesn't happen in a meeting quorum is problematic as well. That's going to become a problem. So in terms of putting some limitations around how you want to consume this digital data, I think it becomes kind of situational, and how do you put the parameters around preventing the wrong things from happening, if that makes sense. So is the purpose of the Google Docs, or let's just say digital technology, whatever that is for just this group to experience what you're working on, so that when you come together and meet, it helps you guys organize and be ready for those conversations? Is that more of what this is for, versus rather than sharing with the public what you're thinking about? Because making it publicly accessible, we may have some hurdles with that in terms of splatting it out there, you know what I mean? I want to do some more research, but I think we need to kind of understand what the ultimate kind of use and technology you're thinking about.
I'm speaking for myself, a lot of it would be capturing ideas, and to your point, not deciding on those ideas, but more just laundry list of here's umpteen things we could do. So if one of us goes to an art festival over the weekend mm-hmm. and gets
snaps a photo. Snaps a photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or, for example, we're going to be working on our bylaws soon, and so we want to have references of other bylaws in the world, so just simply sharing things like URLs with each other, so that we are all virtually or otherwise on the same page.
Sure.
So that when we do come together, and we could even, I would suspect, flag things in whatever medium we use to say we can officially vote on this next time we meet, and that kind of thing, so that we aren't inadvertently stumbling into decision territory. And from a public visibility standpoint, not speaking from the legal ramifications, but I would suspect that there would be no issue with any of that stuff being visible to the public, and we wouldn't be treating that as a secret little place where we're mm-hmm. saying things that shouldn't get out. At the same time, would that be messy if we turned on comments for everyone in the world? Probably. so presumably there's some middle ground where folks could easily have transparency into what was going on, and then we would just need to have some kind of feedback mechanism when that was needed.
I see.
Well, I think we'd have to see what that looks like, because comments, any kind of comments, because then you're getting into that social media type of thing, and when you're working with arts and cultural events, mm-hmm. and everybody has an opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think if you, I'm saying technically you could enable everyone in the world to comment, but from like a moderation standpoint, that probably wouldn't be a best practice. But it would be.
So
it
where
would be technically feasible.
Where we as the city have to help is
mm-hmm.
that anything that gets published online we have to, at some way, shape, or form, capture that into our mechanisms to allow that to be public record searchable, public record accessible. So, you know, a Google Docs for, you know, turning on comments and running a social media, somebody potentially of city staff is going to have to bring that stuff into processes, documentation, repositories inside the city network to manage and handle those kinds of requests that come in.
So is it largely kind of who owns the data that becomes the problem, because it would be Google public,
not so much, because, I mean, yeah, Google will theoretically own it because you're putting it up there, but somebody here has to bring copies into the city's structure, technology structure, things like that, records request structure, so that we can actually produce those documents on demand to make sure we're maintaining transparency to the public. So it just puts additional load on city staff to make sure that those documents are brought into those mechanisms, is all I want to point out. So I'm not shooting down the idea, it's just that we need to think about how would we achieve those kinds of things. So a good example, when your library manager joined the team several years ago, you know, he was a big fan of wikis for internal knowledge management within the library. And that became, you know, very easy for me to say yes to do, with the caveat, Rick, everything you put on the wiki, you need a copy of that in your library P drive, so that when the records come in, when people ask to see the records associated with that, we have, right. So the wiki became the copy, but the permanent public record, or the permanent record that we had to supply, stayed in-house. And he was comfortable with that, and it wasn't a big enough problem for him to self-manage that functionality. So that's kind of a for instance on those kinds of things.
How low level of a detail of an edit does that then start to capture? Because certainly, like, if it was, like if the city had a Google or G Suite license, then all that would just magically happen, right? Like you would make a revision and it would get...
Right, where the difference is that we don't use G Suite here.
Right, no. If you did, then somebody
in City Recorder would have to.
Right, so then would, and maybe this is more of like.
Sounds like you're making it more complicated. Can we just hear what the city expects us to do? I don't even know what the city protocol is. So are you going to explain that to us? Or?
So. Obviously, my department's the steward of city data.
Okay.
We're not necessarily the owners. Records that are generated tend to be owned by the department that creates them, and then the city recorder, which is in the city manager's office, is ultimately accountable and responsible for producing those records from a request for those records. So how we steward or maintain or deliver those records, that's kind of up to us as an organization, advisory board groups, and things like that. So what I'm saying is that doing something different than what we're currently doing is possible, but we just need to make sure we're making it not too staff heavy labor wise to produce those records or things like that. So I'm happy to work with you guys to figure out how we might do something like this.
What do the majority of commissions use?
So we have email groups set up to where the department liaison or council liaison might send communications out to that group, to their personal emails. That information then they respond to those emails, and that effectively informs everybody in the group. So right now we're using email distribution groups to capture those records in the mail system. This is how we're currently doing it. And then if there's any particular documents, they are sent to the liaison. The liaison then produces them for the meetings, files them in our file system, our records management system. We have a records management system.
That's what you do when.
And that's traditionally how the most of our boards and commissions work in terms of using that structure, that format.
Okay.
I'm not married to it per se in terms of, you know, just because that's the way we've always done it, we have to continue to do it. But I also want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that if we are kind of breaking new ground and going, you know, a little different direction.
That it's
direction,
the right ground to break.
Mm-hmm. Or we don't break
example,
eggs. We don't break eggs going that direction.
So, in Google, this might be a little, you create a catalog and you're always adding this stuff into this catalog. Every time something new is added, I or Doug or somebody here at the city is going to have to copy every new single thing that comes in and add it into the city system. So that if somebody that moves into Oregon and wants to know about the art and commission culture, they will have access to it.
Right.
Because it can't just float around. So like, every minute, every agenda, I have to one transfer them into a PDF, and then I have to upload them. The minutes is the same thing. Doug has to transfer them, and then I have to upload them on. So it's, like Shane was saying, it's a lot of extra work. So if everybody's putting stuff in, you put 10 documents in today, you put 10 documents in today, you put 20 documents in today, every one of those needs to be transformed and uploaded, like Shane was saying, so that it's accessible.
Are you saying that's now or with Google?
That's how it is right now. And if you were to use Google, you would still need to do that same process.
Right.
So every edit and everything.
So the closest thing I could think of that might be similar would be the Planning Commission that has a lot of not just textual, visual related materials.
Yeah,
how do they access that? What's the mechanism for them? Maybe it's just the same way as we just spoke.
At this point in time, they're actually requesting printed materials. Everything they get is printed and delivered to them, or they come pick it up. There are digital copies obviously posted to the website for the home audience to look at and download. But in general, the Planning Commission requests for every meeting printed plans.
Well, how many more documents are we going to be adding? I mean, once we've got the foundation, I think what we're talking about is
we start to see things that you want to share with everybody.
Right.
If we could share with them digitally, like images, like I went to this. Here's a program from this thing.
Right.
We might want to share that with everybody rather than just emailing to everybody. If there was a place where we could just keep
the visuals and the information
that everyone could just draw down from and look at. Or we say, hey, you know, this month, put up everything that you liked about whatever it might be. And then everybody puts it up there and they can look at it and then we can talk about it.
Just like art stuff. You want everybody to see, not necessarily the bylaws and all that. That's all going to be within the city anyway.
So until we make a statement about what we're looking at or sharing, my question was earlier that
you have, like, I had a ton of links, let's say, for pictures for the
roundabouts.
So you don't want to have that for the city, public, whatever, search. And then, so that is for us, that we can share these things. Or we can collect ideas for maybe when now the fair is coming up. Oh, we saw this and we saw that. That we have kind of more a collection for what we can draw from.
Catalog of ideas is what you mean,
what we want, because if we're I think catalog is a perfect idea.
And database of artists and
ceramics or painting or watercolors or oils.
We can even organize it by speaker events and art, again, ceramics and paint.
Maybe a fine art theater or something, if we have some ideas for that.
Well, internally we do, certainly
for
internally.
But for keeping track of your resources.
Internally, all departments have those mechanisms in place. But those aren't out to the public. I mean, they're obviously up to the public if they were to request them, but they're handled and used inside. The question is, there's a firewall there. So it's how do we let the public get access to, or these boards, access to that kind of thing.
Is it necessary? May I make a suggestion, a thought on this? I'm wondering, so with public meeting law, you know, when we do share information between meetings, which is probably going to be happening, just like when I sent you guys out some stuff about the Winter Light Festival or whatever, you guys will have your ideas too. We're not really supposed to be having a whole back and forth. Yeah, I like this, thumbs up, thumbs down. It's really supposed to be an FYI, and let's talk about it when we meet. That's what we're supposed to do. So one thing you could do is, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, this is, I throw things out. So you guys can throw my ideas out, it's not going to hurt me. That you could see that you add those kinds of things to your meeting, so then you can go back to the meeting and find it. But then if you want to get into a category thing like Dropbox or something like that, can you do that?
So I was going to make a suggestion, maybe a Google Drive or a Dropbox that a city staff member could have the actual client on their machine, so anytime you guys contributed materials to it via the web or other methodologies, it would then automatically sync to a local to a local staff PC, and then staff could then, you know, move those things into where they belong. You guys could create Excel files, Access database files, other kinds of things to store, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not the high-tech way you're kind of thinking, but it is a way that might bridge the gap in the meantime, right, in terms of
I think it's, of that. To me, it's like the homework assignments and ideas. Is we're not discussing them in the digital realm. We're putting them for everybody to look at and say, when we do come together in person, we've already had a chance to look at, like, if I send out some more municipalities and what they're doing with their arts commissions, bylaws, and conflict of interest statements. We just email them to all of you, right? We're not discussing them at that time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the homework assignment. You're going to read them, you're going to look them over, and then when we come together, we'll discuss them rather than presenting them for the first time in this meeting, trying to look through them all, mm-hmm, and then make decisions, which takes time unto itself. So it's really not for decision making in the digital realm. It's for the opportunity to potentially have shared information, so when it comes time to making decisions, it happens in the proper context in the meeting. Isn't that kind of what we're trying to go for?
Yeah, just with more organization than email tends to allow.
Right.
So I'm assuming, like other boards and commissions, there is a microsite on our website for this group, right?
A what?
Microsite?
Never heard of it.
There's
a new word.
We may need to get that then turned up, because I know that I think SAB, Sustainability Advisor Board, I think has a little tiny website.
Okay.
So there may be some opportunity there that if you want to share.
Public or like an internet?
Effectively, yeah. Would it?
I want to hear him explain it. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I know you're like over here, and I'm like right here. I've never even heard of a microsite. So, yeah.
so if you
had a flow chart, how would it, you know, how does that all,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I am.
So in terms of our website, you know, you go to the homepage. You got,
okay,
you know, City of Westland homepage. Well, Parks and Rec is a microsite. Library is
okay.
a microsite.
Okay.
Planning department's a microsite.
Thank you. I didn't know what that was.
Each of the neighborhood associations has a little microsite.
Okay, thank
right.
you.
So, you know, maybe this is a combination of tools and not just one. You know, maybe you leverage the microsite for things that are, you know, links to outside content that, you know, you want people to potentially look at or share with the public. That way there's no public record created other than,
Now, could we bring it down? Could we request to have it brought down after it's...
Well, yeah, so city staff has full access to edit certain parts of the website. Adding links, taking links down is fairly easy. I mean, you've got a very talented staff, Doug, when it comes to that kind of stuff. But it depends. Is that the right tool for some of the things you want to do? Is the, you know, is the Dropbox,
like
the Google Drive
the public,
a better tool for documents that need to come in-house? So this may be not just one tool.
I think there's several.
Yeah.
That you guys may leverage some different capabilities.
I mean, that is a
so to
idea.
Your understanding, Shane, if we were to open up a Dropbox that
mm-hmm.
or a Google Drive that
mm-hmm.
everyone here had access to,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to draw down from it on a regular basis to put it into our drive systems
sure.
internally,
yeah.
that would fulfill the mechanism to fulfill state law or records law and
mm-hmm.
also allow for the accessibility of this group at any time from
mm-hmm.
wherever they may be located, because they would have access to the
mm-hmm.
actual, as long as they mirrored each other.
And they will. The caveat is that for everyone here to contribute to the Dropbox, they need write permissions, which also gives them, I believe, delete permissions. So, so the removal of content before it's captured by city staff into our drives and things like that for record dissemination becomes a concern, that's all.
Yeah.
It's just that...
Mm-hmm. Right. So would we create a rules around that?
Think Dropbox has quite the
I mean internal
security.
Rules.
Well,
oh,
yeah,
right.
I mean, you can always say once it goes in, only city staff can extract it and take it out.
Yeah. That's the way it works for the council.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Could you use different Dropbox just for images? Could you use another form like Google Docs for?
Yeah, we can set that up anyway.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that you're not everything's
that makes sense.
Pictures
yeah.
and
yeah.
Excel and Word is all going into one thing that's going to get all jumbled.
Yeah, you can create all kinds of folder structure.
Yeah, yeah.
So we could have folders for different events or different programs.
So do you know of any out there that are in the cloud system that allow to distinguish between rights, between user rights, so uploading and or erasing?
I'll have to take a look, see what's out there.
If that exists, that would then fulfill that that issue potentially.
We might achieve that with Google Drive. Might. Again, I got to do some research. I mean, there's Box, Dropbox, Google Drive.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a million of them out there.
If something is upfront, and then when it already happened, we have to erase all these links anyway because we don't need them anymore. But or maybe we have some links, what we still have, like the ones for the plaque, we maybe put that in there because then we have a reminder, hey, what was the company that does that? And so,
but when you write, but you just links are the least amount of space, because if you took the link, a link is just a URL that's going to take you to another place.
Right.
You can either just deactivate the actual linking of it and just have the actual textual component, which if you were to type it all out, would take you to the same place. Create that in there in a text document, and that would show all the links that you have once had. And the other thing is, the law can't provide for if you had a link to something and then that site went down, that had nothing to do with anything, or they changed their URL or whatever. It has to be in the faith that this is when we captured it, this is what it was.
Oh, okay.
It was static at this point in this area. If it changes, then it's really, you've done your job.
And we can have different procedural things, like have a folder called archive, and then when that project or whatever is done,
that's another way to do it.
Quote unquote, throw away the files into the archive folder. It's still there. It's
this is a working group. I don't know that a lot of people will be. I mean, certainly if they're interested in it, we need to make that available to them. But I do believe that the interest will come from when you're making decisions about recommendations for art.
Right.
They'll want to know that process.
Right.
When you're just thinking up ideas like, well, I saw this and I saw that, or let's look at this, there's no real decision being made. And it's not even necessarily going to result in a decision. It's just
ideas,
right? And so at that form, it has no community consequence, if you will, right? And so it's just a matter of, for housekeeping, easy for us to abide by the laws, but also create accessibility for everybody to share in the environment that is appropriate. And then when we do come together, we can work more efficiently because we've had the opportunity to see what some of the folks' ideas are. And then you on record, you're creating your public record in that and those decisions in those meetings.
And there's two other things, it's very helpful to let others, and maybe also including ourselves, but the public, to see how the group arrives at a decision. What did they look at before they got here? And then the other one, which I think is probably, I would hope, even more so beneficial, is to pique people's interest. Like, what does our arts culture group do? And if they could go in there and see, well, this is an interesting process, you know, they had this, and stuff like this. And another thing is with Brian Wagner, the community engagement person for the State of Oregon's arts program, he was strongly suggesting that we do an arts inventory. Remember, and to pursue a grant. Now, the grants are probably happening as we speak for this year.
Mm.
You would have to get ahead of them. And again, I would recommend, well, he came and talked to us, or we could have him come and he came and talked to the council, and you know, we could look at that meeting that he had, and he could come and talk to us and explain that process and what the benefits versus the amount of work is, you know what I mean, to see if it's something you want to pursue. But when I was asking him, you know, where do we start, what do we do, that's what he was suggesting, just to kind of get the ball rolling, find out where we are, you know, what do we have here. And it's like our actual physical art, but it's also an inventory of the artists and musicians and so forth that we know that are within our community and stuff like that.
And would that go into a Google box? Is that
well, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a Dropbox?
How you would start organizing that sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay, in that case, you can contact all these people.
To include a list
to tell them what we do, and on the other hand, they could be on that list to be an inventory list.
So, I mean, I'm happy to create city distribution lists that include outside public contacts. So if you want to have some sort of group that you can, you know, supporters of the Westland Art that you guys can communicate with him, I'm happy to do those things. That's not a problem if you want to have something like that. We might be able to do something with the microsite where people could actually sign up to get updates to specifically what you're doing with the art.
That's how I found out about this group before me, because I searched the Westland website, is there anything? And so that is nice when other people try to go through City Westland website and see what's going on.
Well, here's one more.
Go for it.
I've been awake more than I've been sleeping lately, evidently. another kind of like little brainstorm is that I was actually thinking about doing myself, because I feel guilty asking this group to do, you know, there's a lot to be done this year. But I think it would be a blast to do something, what I would call Artists Among Us, and like every week focus on an artist in our community. So just do a little video recording of, here's somebody's artwork, let the person talk, you know, introduce the person.
Not every week.
Well,
not every week.
To me, I would love to do it, you know, once a week or twice a week or twice a month. Or if it was monthly, that'd only be 12 people, but I guess you could. But to me, it would be like, to do that, you're asking that person to engage with us. And you're giving them the exposure, and it would be nice to be able to do it in a way that's totally indiscriminate, so people don't feel like somebody's getting preferential treatment or something like that. You know, it'd be nice to be able to do it in a more random way, you know. But just to kind of bring people in, get them out of the woodwork.
And you would have that in the microsite that people could click on and see the Artists Amongst Us? That sounds kind of... Can we do that?
We could probably do a ton with the microsite if you guys really wanted to use that as one of your tools.
I thought it might be fun. My son and daughter-in-law are videographers, and I first said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the Arts Commission to do this. We've got a lot of work to do anyway. And I asked them if they would be interested in just going and meeting artists in the community and helping me video, you know.
But then it's the question, what
or it might be something that maybe some high school kids, you know, would find, you know, an interesting thing to do. We've got kids that are in the film and video program.
We have a whole broadcast studio now at the high school.
Wouldn't that be fun?
They put together professional-looking videos and movies.
But I feel guilty asking for one more thing or suggesting one more thing. But I just
think it's a great suggestion. It doesn't necessarily have to happen within the next 3 months.
But bear in mind, we have a council chamber broadcast system. Tens of thousands of dollars that we use for city council meetings, planning commission meetings, and municipal court occasionally. Accessing and using that system to create, you know, interview videos and things like that, it's just a matter of asking, can I get some time in there to use it?
I think bringing people in is good, because we can bring in musicians, we can bring in, and we can bring in the public when we're bringing in people too.
So if we use the broadcast system, I can even upload, but if you use the broadcast system at City Hall, we can then put those on our Granicus stream and actually post them to our website to stream.
Wouldn't that be fun? And have it on the Arts and Culture microsite.
Because we can capture it at the point of creation.
And then we wouldn't have to worry about any conflict of interest.
Because it's all on the public.
It's all on the public.
So yeah, you guys have a green field of options out there. It's just kind of making sure we get them
done, but you also can
document and process.
The great thing about this is your committee. You get to decide if you want to do that, you know, and then if you want to take the time and or recruit people that can help to do that.
Well, what I'd like to propose is sort of homework for us on this, because there's some of us that don't understand.
Not at
maybe,
all.
And would appreciate, you know, maybe some more
of a lesson. Because
of an introduction.
Right, yeah. Because I am, wow, you know. What I think, I would suggest that this committee not go wandering off in some direction, that we stay with what the city's protocol is right now and however the laws are, and we kind of stick with that. But boy, if we could flesh out our, with a microsite and a Dropbox and whatever that all means.
So my to-dos coming out of this are, explore the different tools, Dropbox, mm-hmm. Box, whatever, mm-hmm. See if we can find one that gives the granularity and you guys can view and post, maybe not delete, maybe city staff can delete, so find something that potentially works like that.
Okay.
Get the microsite turned up for your commission so that we've got it up and going. Yep. And then at that point you guys can, you know, at that point decide how you want to leverage it or not.
It won't be live contentless, right? Like you wouldn't, when you say you'll spin it up, it's not going to just be live but without any content in it yet?
No, it has to be. The page has to be published.
Okay.
But it'll be...
So it'll be ready to be published.
It'd be accessible for staff to make.
I just didn't want like an under construction.
So who will... wait. I want to go back to what he's saying. I'm still trying to catch the thread of you being in charge of what our
My to-dos, not in charge. My to-dos are.
Okay.
To bring back to this group a potential Dropbox solution that allows you guys to contribute content, view content, but not delete it. See if I can find something that supports that. Okay. Get the microsite turned up for this commission, obviously unpublished, so that you guys can decide what you want to do with it in terms of build out. I'm going to go out and see if there's a platform out there that may, someone's already invented that kind of does Arts and Culture Commission stuff for government.
Who will feed the microsite?
City staff will have to be the mechanics, but it'll
because
be your ideation.
The
ideas. Your ideation, right. Mm-hmm.
All right, good.
So this brings up another piece for us to consider is whatever's going to be professionally easy for Mel and Doug. We don't want to go off somewhere in the stratosphere putting something together that, you know, Mel's looking at us like,
yeah, right. Well, I think that's, thank you for that consideration. Yeah. That's very kind. And I think that it is something I would be concerned about, because this commission is important to us. It's what we do, but it's also, we have other boards that we work with and the library to run as well. So the easier it can be for us to be able to get you the results that you're wanting and fit within the structure of the law and the policies of the city, we want to be able to do.
And you've been doing that with the foundation and with the Friends. And I got to say, Doug, if it ain't broke, let's not try to fix it.
Yeah, really.
And
he smiled at that one.
Well, you know.
Sean, what is your...
what you do is incredible.
What's your last name?
Thank you. Boyle, B-O-Y-L-E.
And I'm sorry, where is it?
Number 6 on our agenda.
I'm happy to come into any meeting, present on any topic, just come in and visit. I'm, like I said, I go to other.
And can I, if I call you up, can I have a half an hour at City Hall? And
sure, anytime. Actually, my contact email and phone number is posted on the city website.
Okay, thank you very
us.
Much.
Yeah. I'm very, very accessible.
How about this? Would you be willing to come in and do that sort of mini training for us here? Would that work for you too?
Yeah, that could work.
We could set up some of the computers up in the
room.
And then we can all do it at once and we all have questions.
That would make sense. Yeah.
That we can see it at one time. So I guess, so here's our other piece of homework, is coming up with a date that's...
Could we just do it at the next meeting? That gives him the opportunity to research some of the things. He can kind of show them to us if they appear, and then,
I think that's brilliant.
If there's a natural solution, you're already in a meeting, you can already vote on it. If it works all the way, we can then go forward with the training. We can set that aside.
I think that's a great idea.
And just in case, like, the plot got lost along the way, I did not bring up any of this in the name of complicating anything. The idea is to make
absolutely understand that.
Yes, so like absolutely. If anything gets more complicated as a result, we did it wrong.
I didn't even know what existed. No,
I think it's a unique challenge because you are looking at visual. Library things are textual and they're easy to handle in those forms. Sometimes we get into the visual, but it's mostly the textual in these advisory board situations. And most things can be handled within the mechanisms that the city already does.
Already has.
We have the best IT director in the whole dang place. So Shane can
yeah,
help us.
Yeah. Hey, Shane.
Shane's the man, and so he'll help us. And so point is that we want to make it so it's easy for all of us, because I think oftentimes we get bogged down because it's the first time we get to see something, and then we all have to make, you know, kind of things. And if you have a little bit of time to look at something, look it over. I mean, even if you look at like why we post things a week in advance, or try to, and the goal is and the law is to, and also other things we try to get to you over time. It's so that we're considerate of each other's time, and that when we do come together, we can be more productive. And I think and being so visually oriented in this field, we can foresee that need.
Yep.
And this is, we're just trying to see if there's an easier way to do that. So.
Yeah, great.
And
what I saw you doing is, you know, pushing us forward, and
it's more of a gentle nudge.
it's really, this is a great forum for those of us who aren't quite as
digital.
Yes,
exactly.
Tech savvy. Well, I just, that's, you know, if I don't have to do it, I don't want it to. So I like looking at the pictures.
I do.
Anyway,
make it visual.
Well, I think the point of all of it is to make it accessible for not just this group, or for any other group that is appropriate for
to be
viewing things, what you're doing. And so it's just seeing what there might be. It's exploring possibilities.
In that case, are we already somewhere on the website? So our names, our group, is it already somewhere?
We're listed as one of the commissions. Like
That's all. We don't have any. We don't have any
microsite.
So a microsite.
Because on the other hand,
so
I'm
we're
asking,
gonna get one.
We're gonna be a microsite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if we, if
can we have
contact,
a micro brew with the microsite?
What is up is our agendas and all of the recordings that
and
the minutes.
And that's it.
So that exists for all the ones that we've done from.
So your names are on the website only in the minutes.
We're basically
of who's here and who's not.
Because I'm asking if we really want to contact something or someone, how can we introduce ourselves if we are not somewhere accessible?
So we are accessible.
I'm willing to give you guys WL Arts and Culture Commission at westernoregon.gov, and it actually just forwards to the distribution list. Everybody who's a member, You think it up, and I'm happy to build it for you guys. I don't care.
I mean, also if I go somewhere, like with
so if you
want to
have business cards, you know, they have.
Exactly.
With the understanding is that you're representing the city, so you now have certain restrictions around how you use that presence.
We are officially part of that. I want to contact you because I'm a member.
Well, with all the boards and commissions on the city website, it does say who's on each one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place on the city's website that does show that.
Yeah, you guys can't hide the chat. We've got to have you public.
So would it help if we brought our own computers, or can you set us up with computers?
No, we have a mobile tech lab upstairs.
Upstairs.
We have laptops and ready to go.
Let's
Mac
do it.
And Windows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so does anybody like to make a motion about that?
To
invite Shane back to give us a micro training on a microsite.
On the first Wednesday of December, whatever that date might
be. December
4th.
I'm not going to be traveling. You guys want a quick preview of the website template? We're getting ready to roll out a new website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to finish the motion first?
Well, I can't make the motion. I can only suggest the motion.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it as an emotion.
Harry, is that you?
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
I'll have to check with you.
So it's been moved and saved. Are we all in agreement?
Yes, I.
Okay. Thank you. We now have our agenda item for December 4th.
I have to warn you in advance, I have to miss that meeting, so I'll get with Shane and see if he can. Possible for him to train me. It might not be possible.
A micro tour. Oh.
You say that, but you you got more, you got more, you got mad skills. You just don't want to admit it.
I had that once Dropbox, and now
I kind of wanted to do the focus group, but it's same houses.
Oh, there they are.
I just figured out I had to update Chrome because nothing was opening anymore.
You can see the whole thing.
So busy. Well,
you have to pay attention.
I have it on my mind.
That's a security mod.
The library.
Active projects.
Yeah, we tried to streamline it a little bit, make it all look at least part of the same.
Nice. When does it go?
Right.
We're hoping, depending on the feedback we get from upstairs, could be December, could be January.
Okay.
What is it?
The new site.
The new template.
He's showing us, and that's the library's microsite.
Oh, they're doing the front,
upstairs. Thank you, Shane. That
was of course.
Great.
Yes.
So that's the library side of things. What we're trying to do is.
Wow, that's gorgeous. Oh, yeah.
That's really nice.
Gorgeous.
Let me see. Let me see.
Well, I'll make sure you guys all can see.
This is our new website?
Libraries.
Libraries.
Actually, the whole thing. The whole thing. Parks and Rec and. It's just a new template.
Oh. Book club at 7.
But it looks a lot
here, just sit here. Very tempting.
Come on,
I'll
talk to you.
Oh, I like that.
So this rotates. We streamline the menu so there's not as much stuff.
Okay, folks, is there anything more that we have to ask of Shane?
Grabbing my head.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
Is there anything more we want to discuss? Is there another motion anyone would like to make?
I think we should. I motion to adjourn this meeting of
the
Wesleyan Arts and Culture Commission Advisory Board.
I second.
All in favor?
So you can search the catalog.
We are adjourned till.